It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're so glad that you have chosen to be a student in this school. And if you'll listen faithfully with an open Bible, you're going to learn some of the greatest things that you can learn in life. I know this is the case because we're in a study of the gospel of the Son of God. These are studies in Mark. And we're studying today about John the Baptist and Jesus, the lesson text being from Mark 1, verses 1 through 11. We're in the midst of this study, so we're not going to go back and repeat ourselves, but I do want to read Mark 1 and verse 5, where it says, "There went out unto him," now that is unto John the Baptist, "there went out unto him all the country of Judea, and all they of Jerusalem, and they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." In just a moment, we're going to talk about the importance of those words, confessing their sins. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And to guide us in our study, we go back and look at old Sunday school lessons. And this is a part of a Sunday school lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of January the 1st, 1928. Now I'll read it again. Mark 1 and verse 5. Put it in your mind. "There went out unto him all the country of Judea, and all they of Jerusalem, and they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Now, let's look at Elam's notes. "Truly, penitent people are not ashamed to confess their sins. They confess their sins too as their own and do not blame others with them. Baptism itself is a confession of sin and an expression of repentance. Baptism is a burial in water of one dead to sin. We know the kind of action baptism is, even if we did not know the meaning of the word itself. From Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, and Colossians 2, and verse 12, where it is called a burial. John baptized in the river Jordan and in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And the people came and were baptized, John 3 and verse 23, and went out to him and were baptized and went up out of the water." Well, that tells us the form of baptism. You don't bring water to the person wanting to be baptized. You bring that person to the water. And they're baptized in the water. And they are buried in the water. And they come up out of the water. Trying to make this convenient by turning it into sprinkling or pouring water on someone is not doing what the Bible said they did when they were baptized. Now we're going to learn something about John's habits. It says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 6, "John was clothed with camel's hair and had a leathern girdle about his loins, and did eat locusts and wild honey." Well, that was a different habit than most of the people. It certainly would excite a curiosity about John. His clothing and diet were simple. Camel's hair and a leathern girdle. Well, it was a loose garment made from the coarse fabric worn out of the long, rough hair of the camel. It was fastened about his loins with a leathern girdle. The girdle was worn by any common laborer. The hairy garment was recognized as a dress of the prophets in 1 Kings chapter 1 and in the book of Zechariah. But it also said he ate locust and wild honey. Now, the locust was a large insect resembling a grasshopper, which the Jews were allowed to eat, according to Leviticus 11 and verse 2. The poor of Arabia, Egypt, and Nubia used locusts for food, and they still do. Honey was deposited in the rocks by wild swarms of bees. John drank neither wine nor strong drink of any kind, and was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth, Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. Many think John may have been a Nazarite. We read about those in Numbers chapter 6, and certainly there are things about John that is very similar to what we read about the Nazarites in Numbers chapter 6. But John talked about one that would be mightier than he. John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, John said, I baptize you in water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 7, There cometh one after me that is mightier than I, the latch of the shoes I'm not worthy to stoop and unloose. He said this in answer to the question which arose in the hearts of the people whether he was the Christ or not, Luke 3:15-18. This one mightier than John was Jesus, the Christ. He considered himself unworthy to unloose the latchet of Jesus' shoes. Unloosing one's shoe latchet was a simple, humble service. Slaves among Jews, Greeks, and Romans put on, took off, and carried the shoes of their masters. It may have been done sometimes as a voluntary and humble service. John calls himself the friend of the bridegroom, and was happy to sustain this relationship to Jesus, and said Jesus must increase while he must decrease. John chapter 3, 29-30. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, and that is on Jesus. Acts 19 and verse 4. John said, He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Christ overwhelmed their souls in the Holy Spirit as John had baptized their bodies in water. This came to pass on the day of Pentecost, just after Christ's ascension into heaven. And we read of another instance of the Holy Spirit coming directly upon man at the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. In Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12, and Luke 3, 16 and 17, we have a fuller account of John's speech on this point. Matthew and Luke speak of the baptism in fire. It seems clear from the fact that the chaff and wheat will be separated and the chaff burned with unquenchable fire, and from the omission of the baptism of fire and the promise of the Holy Spirit when Jesus was speaking to his apostles alone, that burning the chaff with unquenchable fire is the baptism in fire. At the end of the world, the wheat will be gathered into the garner of eternal salvation, and the wicked, the chaff, will be burned in unquenchable fire. But then we read about the baptism of Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 9-11. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens rent asunder, and the Spirit as a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. It says, in those days. That means when John was baptizing the people. Jesus went from Nazareth to Galilee to the Jordan. That would be about 75 or 80 miles to be baptized of John. Most likely to Beth Arbara, the house of the ford or passage, or to Bethany, which must have been a village whose site is now unknown, beyond the Jordan on the eastern bank, where John was baptizing. For John baptized in the Jordan, and Jesus was baptized in that river. John knew Jesus, not as the Christ, but as a good man, better than himself, and therefore at first declined to baptize him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me. John preached the baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins, and Jesus had no sin of which to repent and to be remitted. John recognized his own unworthiness in the presence of Jesus. All along he sought to honor Jesus. His mission was to prepare a people for him. Now Jesus demands baptism at his hands. He did not see the fitness in baptizing Jesus. If remission of sins is the only reason for being baptized, there would have been no reason for baptizing Jesus. But there are other reasons. Jesus said, suffer it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. To suffer it means to allow it. Jesus declares he's going to be the exception. We need to be baptized for the remission of our sins because we have sins. But Jesus, being an exception without sins, was not baptized for the remission of his sins. But John baptized him. Evidently, the greater was baptized by the less. Jesus came down from heaven to do God's will. All of God's will, John 3 and verse 38. Had he declined or refused to be baptized, as did the Pharisees and lawyers in Luke 7, 29 through 30, he would have been disobedient to God and would not have fulfilled all righteousness. Had Jesus obeyed every command of God except the one to be baptized, he would not have obeyed them all, and hence would not have fulfilled all righteousness. To do God's will, whatever it is to do righteousness. Since Jesus, the sinless Son of God, traveled so far to be baptized in obedience to God, shall we not follow his example? Thus, like me in this obedience, it becometh, that is, it is fitting, it is proper, us, that is, others beside Jesus, to fulfill all righteousness. John also baptized that Christ might be manifest to Israel by the descent of the Holy Spirit upon someone John was to know, that that was one was the Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of man. John knew Jesus before this as a righteous and good man, but not as the Son of God or as the Messiah. Jesus was not baptized then into his priestly office. He was not a priest on earth, but straightway, coming out of the water, after he was baptized, Luke adds, and praying, he saw the heavens rent asunder, and the Spirit as a dove descending upon him. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove, Luke 3:22, and it abode on him, Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, John chapter 1 and verse 32. When John saw the Spirit descending upon Jesus, he pointing him out as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. John saw this, and all present must have seen it. Jesus saw it and looked through the open heavens into the glory beyond, for the heavens were open unto him. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, full of the Holy Spirit, and had the Spirit without measure. John 3:30 through 36.